And Isaiah 47, we're going to go to verse 14, and then Matthew 3, if you'll put your amen finger there if you need to. We'll go there and do verses 11 and 12. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 47 and 14 said, "Behold, they shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it." Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 says this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister on this thought, simply burn the stubble. Amen. Burn the stubble. Look at your neighbor. Amen. And say, burn the stubble. Praise God. We know that, amen, the Lord has spoken to us recently as we've been, amen, preaching the past few weeks. Amen. A lot pertaining, amen, to sowing and pertaining, amen, to the harvest. Praise God. We have preached about cultivating the seed. Amen. And we preached about staying in the harvest field. Amen. So that we can harvest what God intended for us to harvest. Amen. We have talked about how that when it comes to sowing, there are three elements. Amen. In the sowing, first of all, there's the seed. Second, there is the rain. Amen. And third, it is a person in which to till the ground. Amen. And so we know that those elements, praise God, are important and all dependent upon each other. We know that the seed is the word of God. Amen. The seed is the word of God. So all the seed, Brother Matt, that we sow, that we plant, is the word of God. So therefore, every seed is perfect, it's unchangeable, and it is consistent in its production. What the word says it will do, it will do. Amen. Praise God. And so we know that the seed is incorruptible. Amen. There's no changing the seed. What you sow is what you get. Amen. We know that the rain comes in the form of God's blessing, but it also, as we learned and preached, that it comes with the tears. He that sows in tears will reap with joy. Amen. And so we know, praise God, that the Holy Ghost keeps the underground in the right condition. And so it is up to the rain, up to us, amen, to take care of the surface of the ground. Amen. We are to till the ground. We're to make sure that there's nothing in the ground, that ground being our hearts, that there's nothing in there, that when the seed is sown, when the word is sown, amen, that there's nothing there that chokes out that, amen, that seed and causes it to die. Amen. We don't want bitterness. We don't want unforgiveness. We don't want anger. Amen. We don't want jealousy. We don't want anything, amen, that is in there, praise God, that will cause the seed, amen, to shrivel up and not be able to live. Amen. So we know that, amen, God blesses us. He's the one that supplies the rain. Amen. That comes with the blessing in the covenant. Amen. But the tears come from our seasons of suffering, our times of being in the wilderness. Amen. The tears come, amen, as a result of our trials. Amen. But we know that those tears, amen, also water that seed. Amen. So then we reap, amen, or we harvest the fruit of the seeds that we plant or sow. Amen. When the season is complete, then we harvest, amen, or reap those seeds. And we even preached about how that God will give us handfuls on purpose, amen, to make sure that we reap all that we are supposed to reap. Amen. How many knows that in the covenant there are promises that belong? Amen. There are so many promises in the covenant. Amen. There's specific numbers, but I believe, amen, there are so many promises in the covenant. Amen. And God will, amen, make sure that we reap, hallelujah, the promises in his covenant that he has promised us. But I want to think about tonight, if we can, what happens at post-harvest time. We know, amen, we know now about cultivating the seed. We know what the seed is. We know that the Holy Ghost will keep the ground fertile. The Holy Ghost will keep the undersoil in the right condition. We know that we, amen, have to keep our hearts in condition so that when the seed, amen, is there, it will produce fruit. We know that when it's God's time, amen, that word, amen, that seed will produce a harvest, and then we reap the harvest. But we also realize, amen, that there is a post-harvest. Amen. What about the post-harvest? What happens after we reap the harvest, amen, the time in between the reaping and the sowing again? Because we know that it just goes right back, amen, that we are continually sowing and reaping, amen, in our spiritual walk. But I want to talk about tonight what happens in between the reaping and the sowing again. What happens, amen, when the season, amen, the current season is finished, and then we move into another season of sowing. Can I tell you that the season, the next season is going to require the same. It's going to be the same seed, the same rain or water, and it's going to need somebody to work the ground. So there's not anything, amen, of the elements that change. Amen. But I want you to think tonight, amen, as the Lord begins to deal with me, amen, in a few different areas, amen, to get me to this message tonight. I want us to look about what happens when the reaping is finished. See, reaping leaves short, stiff stalks of the grain or hay that remain, that are attached to the ground. So when the reaping takes place, we preached about how Ruth went and gleaned, that they left behind purposely, amen, a part of the harvest so that the poor could come in and glean, and how that, amen, she was able to take of that. But when everything is harvested, when the reaping, when all the fruit of the labor has been, amen, harvested and the reaping is done, there are, amen, some small salts, amen, there are some short, stiff salts that are left in the ground, amen, and they are attached to the soil. This is what is called stubble, amen, this stubble that is in the field, amen, it's like straw and it has no nutritional value, so there's no need for, amen, anybody to go back there and try to harvest the stubble. There's no need even for the animals. It's not even nutritional for animals. Amen. And so it has no nutritional value. Amen. But it is still attached to the ground. Amen. In the Hebrew, the meaning of the word stubble, amen, is literally to become sapless. So every bit of the life, amen, that was in the grain and the stalk before it's harvested is now gone. And what remains is that stubble that has no value. It has no purpose. Amen. It is viewed literally as a waste product. Amen. It now When someone sees a stubble field, they see a man that it is time for a new season. Look at your neighbor and say, there will be a new season. We have told you that the Lord promises us in the way that he works and the patterns, amen, that this will not last. The season you are in now in your spiritual growth will not last, but there will come a new season. But how many knows that the key is walking in obedience? Amen. Stay in your field. Amen. So that you can reap the fullness of what God has promised you. Amen. See, there's things that he's promised me that don't pertain to you. So there's seeds that I have sown in my field that you may not have sown in your field in this season. And so it's important that I tend to those seeds to make sure, amen, that in due season, amen, you will reap if you faint not. Amen. We talked on Sunday morning about distractions and how the enemy wants to come in and beset us. Come in every direction and literally get us distracted. Amen. So that we can miss. Amen. And lose our focus. But I'm so thankful tonight for the Word of God, for the power of the Holy Ghost, that the Lord did not leave us comfortless. He did not leave us powerless. But when he brought Jesus back to where he was, he sent another comforter. Hallelujah. If you're thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight, why don't you give the Lord some praise like you believe it? Come on, thank him for the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost for the times when the enemy has come against my mind in the middle of the night. But the Holy Ghost woke me up, praying for me in another language. Amen. Interceding on my behalf when I walked in a den of devils by the will of God. It was the Holy Ghost that kept me. It was the Holy Ghost that taught me. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And when I walked in a den of devils by my own choice, it was the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that stayed there, convicted me. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And love might be out of that mess. If you've ever been loved out of a mess that you put yourself in, go ahead and give God praise right here. Hallelujah. It leaves the field ready for the next season, but I want you to understand something. Amen. That the cultivation is not over. Amen. Because we often think that cultivating the seed, that once the reaping is over, that we can relax. Amen. But how many knows that we've got to be sober? We've got to be vigilant. Amen. We've got to keep our hearts, amen, in the right place so that we can, amen, see and hear, amen, what the Lord, amen, is saying to us. Removing, amen, the stubble is part of the cultivation. See, you can't leave the stubble in the field, amen, and expect to sow a new harvest. And if you're going to continue to grow, if you're going to benefit from the harvest that you just reaped, you're going to have to keep on sowing. Because how many knows that out of the harvest comes more seed, amen, that we continue to sow. Amen. So you can't just sit back. Amen. That's why people get stagnant. That's why Christians get lukewarm. That's why Christians walk away and backslide from the covenant of God. Because, amen, they quit, amen, sowing and reaping. Amen. But removing the stubble is part of the cultivation. Amen. So the landscape, amen, that post-harvest landscape or the stubble field, it's really an image of desolation. It is an image of destruction. Because if it is not removed, it will hinder the next season. But We see in the King James Bible, amen, there are 18 references to the word subtle. Subtle is referred to 18 times in the King James Version. Sometimes it's interchanged with the word chaff. Chaff is a little bit different, but sometimes, amen, the word is interchanged with subtle. So you might see chaff as we read it in the scripture, amen, as we begin to minister the word tonight, amen. But 18 times the word subtle is referenced in the King James Bible, amen, and it always has a negative connotation. There is nothing good about the subtle. There is nothing beneficial about the subtle. It is always in a negative connotation, and all but a few times that it is referenced, there's always a reference to fire connected with it. Amen. So there's always, amen, a negative connotation. Amen. And it is most always connected with fire. Amen. So here's the reason why. Because to get rid of the stubble, amen, they would burn the stubble out of the field. So the stubble field would be set on fire. Amen. It would literally be set on fire, and then the ashes would be reintegrated into the soil. There is still some agricultural customs in other countries where they still burn the stubble. It's illegal in some places because of the smoke, amen, but there are still some cultures that burn the stubble, but in the word, they would burn the stubble fields to clear them, amen, and so we can look in the scripture, when you read about stubble, stubble is, amen, referred to a primary metaphor for stubble in the Bible is to depict the nature of sinners or wicked people. So when stubble is talked about, it is, amen, a picture of sinners. It is a picture of wickedness. It is a picture of people who, amen, deal with sin and wickedness, because the stubble has no value, and the stubble always had to be burned up, amen, to get away from or to get it out of the field. It also, amen, was a metaphor for the impending judgment and their actions. So, amen, the stubble was the wickedness or the sin or the sinner, if you will. The fire was the judgment, amen, that would burn the stubble out of the field so that the field could now be set for a new harvest. This is a reference a lot in the New Testament. The fire, amen, that burned the stubble is referenced to hell. Hell, amen, is the judgment for those who refuse to surrender and live for the Lord. Amen. It is, amen, what the scripture says. So when we see stubble and we think about stubble, it should not give us, amen, any kind of good feeling, because we see judgment, destruction, and helplessness, and hopelessness, and it has no value. Look at your neighbor and say, get rid of the stubble. Get rid of the stubble. But you see, once the stubble is burned, now the field is ready to be cultivated for sowing more seed. Now all of that dry, amen, salt and that stubble is now burned and removed out of the field. And now the ground, praise God. So when they would see a burned stubble field, amen, it would look like destruction, amen, and defeat. But you see, here's the thing. In order for the stubble to be burned, God doesn't come down and burn the stubble. God doesn't just like, amen, God is not the one that tills the ground for the seed. God required from the beginning that man till the ground. He provides the seed. He provides the rain. We provide the ground prepared for sowed the seed. Are you with me? Amen. So the person that tilled the ground, prepared the ground for the preceding harvest is also the person, amen, that must, amen, put forth the effort, hallelujah, to burn the stubble. Amen. So seeing that field on fire gives us a picture of purification and rebirth, because not only does it get rid of the stubble from the previous harvest season, but it is also a reminder that everything that hinders, everything, amen, that would prevent the seed from fulfilling its purpose, everything that might come against, amen, the fruit of the harvest is now being burned up. So, amen, a stubble field on fire is a sign, or it is a symbol of purification and rebirth. Amen. So, hallelujah. That's why, praise God, just like when planting the seed, the water and the rain isn't by our doing. How many knows that we cannot produce the rain? We don't have any power to produce the rain. I know, amen, praise God, that we, hallelujah, come and the tears come from us, hallelujah, but when we are obedient, hallelujah, to the Lord and the Word, this in turn causes the rain, the blessing, to be sent by God. And when we are obedient and we say, Lord, I'll go where you have me to go. If it takes me through the fire, I'll go through the fire. Lord, I don't understand this battle. I don't understand this season. I don't like this storm. But if you see that I need to go through it, then I'll go through it. So we don't produce the rain, but our obedience, hallelujah, causes the rain, amen, to be released. Remember, the Holy Ghost has already got the underground taken care of. We only have to dig as deep as the seed needs to go. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go way down? Hallelujah. Take care of all that's, amen, way underneath. But the Holy Spirit, just like in Genesis, amen, the water coming up from the ground. Hallelujah. All we got to do is take care of the surface. So, Lord, I'm going to go even though I don't feel like going. I'm going to take that next step even though that next step doesn't make sense. Even though that next step doesn't look right in my eyes, God, if it's your will, then I'm going to go. This is what causes the rain of blessing, amen, to come down, amen, and to fertilize our seed. And sometimes we cry because of where he leads us in the season, but it's going to reap, hallelujah, the benefits. So we can't produce the rain, hallelujah, but our obedience, hallelujah, will cause the rain to come. It's the same with burning the stubble. There's nothing that we can do. Listen, what is stubble for us? You say, what are you talking about, stubble? I'm talking about anything that's left from the season that has no value in your next season. There are some remaining thoughts that you will want to carry over into your next season. But God said, leave those remnant thoughts. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? There might be some experiences that you want to hold on to. Maybe some hurts, maybe some disappointments. Hey, mom, that you just don't feel like you're quite ready to let go of. But God says, burn the stubble. God said, don't take it with you in the next season. It'll hinder the growth of your shekel. Some of you got some negative thoughts. Amen. Even some ideas that maybe you thought, hallelujah, was a good thing. But God's saying, it's not my plan for you. I know the plans that I have for you, and I know the expected end. He didn't tell us that the in between would be good, but he said when it was over, hallelujah, it would be well. That's why in the middle of all the some dead relationships that you need to leave and not take into that new season. Some empty words from other people. Leave them. Don't take them into your next season. They will hinder the growth of the seed. Come on. The Bible says that his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish everything that he sent it to do.
Amen. That's right.
Everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
Everything. It will do. The seed is perfect. The seed does not need any changing. So many people in the church trying to change the seed, trying to modify the seed to make it work for their life. Hallelujah. But we cannot modify the seed. The seed is pure, and it does not need altar. And it will plant, hallelujah, the pure, unadulterated seed. It will bring forth a great harvest. So you need to leave maybe some aspirations. Come on. Need to not take them into the next season. That's what stubble is. No nutritional value. Serves no purpose. Just taking up room in the field. Oh, God, help me. Now, remember what your field is. Right? This is your ground. This should be your heart is the ground. That's the soil. That's the field. Come on. Hallelujah. So, just the same as we don't produce the water that fertilizes the seed once we sow, we also don't produce the fire that will burn the stubble. But our obedience ignites it and causes it to ignite and set ablaze the stubble field. So there's nothing you can do. Come on, there's nothing you can do to make yourself good enough.
Amen.
For the rain or the fire. It's all already been done. So we don't produce the fire, our obedience ignites it. So if we're going to burn the stubble, if we're going to burn all of those things that are left from our previous season that have no value, that have no purpose, that represent destruction, represent defeat, represent helplessness, all of the things that we, the Bible, the metaphors that it gives, we've got to continue in obedience and allow the fire to ignite and begin to burn the stubble. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. John the Baptist was telling him, he said, I baptize you with water and repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I am. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unlace his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Come on. Go ahead. Whose fan or winnowing hook, that's a reaping instrument. That's what's used to You know, they didn't have, amen, the combines and all the machinery that we've got now that does it for us. They did it all by hand. That winnowing fork, amen. That what's called that winnowing fan sometimes is depending on how it's translated, amen. But using that to cut down, amen, the stalk, and it would, amen, separate, amen, the chaff, and they would begin to separate the seed from, amen, the stalk, amen. They would release the chaff, and the wind would take it away. But again, remember that that stalk, that dried stalk, amen, that remained attached to the soil. I want you to get that. It's attached to the soil. It don't disappear on its own. It's got to be destroyed. You understand that? Said, when he comes, he'll thoroughly purge his floor. Talking about the harvest floor. Talking about the threshing floor. Talking about, this is agriculture. Amen? He'll gather his wheat into the garner, but he'll burn up the stubble with an unquenchable fire. That word chaff there, amen, is translated in the Hebrew stubble. He will burn up the stubble with an unquenchable fire. So everything that is not worth, amen, that has no value or worth, amen, for those that he's coming to baptize with Holy Ghost and fire, amen, he's going to burn it all up and get it out of the way. Are you with me tonight? Amen. So the fire comes from the Holy Ghost. See, amen. He wants to, we've got to allow the Holy Ghost to burn the stubble from our previous season. We've got to allow the fire of the Holy Ghost. What is the fire of the Holy Ghost? It is the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the manifestation, amen, of the work of the Holy Ghost. We've got to allow it to burn the stubble. Why? So that nothing hinders or causes any unnecessary work when planting again. You know what happens when you don't allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn the stubble? It causes you more work when you begin to go back and plant again. Because you're going to plant again. You're going to sow again. It's inevitable. Excuse me. There's no getting away from it unless you walk away from the Lord. But if you're going to pursue, amen, that relationship, you've got to sow and you've got to plant that seed. Amen. So if you don't burn the stubble, what's going to happen? Amen. Those dry roots are going to stay in the ground. And then what's going to happen when you go to work the ground? Because it's you that works the ground. It's not the Holy Ghost that will come on. It's not the Spirit that tills the ground. It's you and I, amen, that, amen, will discipline ourselves, amen, just to get away in the secret place and have a fellowship with the Lord. It is you and I who disciplines ourselves, amen, to fast and to pray, amen, and to be in worship and fellowship, amen, as it is necessary. It is you and I, amen, that continues, amen, to sanctify our lives and yielding ourselves to the Holy Ghost that he can reveal the things in us. Hallelujah. But if you don't allow him to burn the stubble, then you go into the next season. Now you got to work harder. And you got to, by hand, try to dig that stuff out. Amen. Try to get it out of the way. Hallelujah. And then you might plant a seed here and there. But you're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. Because you're dealing with things that you do not have to deal with. You're taking on burdens that you should not be taking on because they should have been burned with the stubble. You're taking on, hallelujah, situations and circumstances and battles and moments of confusion that were not necessary, and you can't blame the Lord. Amen. It ain't the Lord that took you there, because, hallelujah, part of cultivating, part of sowing and reaping is burning the stubble. It's getting rid of all of that. Hallelujah. so you have to burn the stubble. Look at your neighbor and say, burn the stubble. So that nothing hinders. So many people get in the same places. Because they're dealing with the stubble of the last season.
Come on.
There comes a point when the Lord or somebody through the boldness of the Holy Ghost got to tell you, I've counseled with people before, and we meet several times, but then after so many times, sometimes I have to say, here we are back again, and we're talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the reason we are is because you're not doing
right.
What you need to do to get beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So I can't burn your shovel for
right,
you.
Right, come on.
Right.
Only the fire of the Holy Ghost. And it's your obedience that ignites that fire. Amen. It's not anything. You can't fast enough, pray enough, shout enough, jump enough, praise loud enough. Amen. Go to church every night, every day of the week. Amen. You can't do any of that enough. Hallelujah. To cause the fire to burn. Amen. The fire never goes out. The fire is with the Holy Ghost. Amen. What you do is in your obedience. Hallelujah. You cause that fire. Amen. You allow the Holy Ghost to manifest and to begin to burn away, hallelujah, all of that stubble and those things. And for some, the roots of that stubble might be deeper. That might be some deeper things that need to happen. Maybe some deliverance. Maybe, amen, some extra counseling. But you still got to let the Holy Ghost set it on fire. The burning also helps to combat pests and weeds. The odors of our there's so much landscaping at my house. It's unnecessary. That's my opinion. And I live there, so it counts. It's like you never can get ahead of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like laundry.
See, I keep on my laundry. People sit around and be stuck up. I know that some of you got more than I do, but hey, he's too long. I wash, fold, put away at the same time. You get a habit. That's just how I operate. Praise God. Laundry's got it everywhere and gives me anxiety. Clean or dirty. Amen. Anyhow, you got me all trouble. It's all right. But there's nothing. It's a two-edged sword. It makes me anxious and it makes me mad when I look at weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I promise you can pull them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spend 2 hours in just one little section. And then 2 days later,
come on.
There they are again. I talk to weeds, you devil. I hate you. So then you go to mow grass. You know, you get the lawn mowed, amen, and it looks nice, and then you look at the weeds. And I'm not talking about, you know, growing up to my bone. They just fill up. But burning the stubble also eliminated a lot of weeds.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I've said before, I just want to set it all on fire. Deal with, amen, so quickly and so soon in the next season. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where I can find peace. Are you with me? I can just tend to, amen, the fruit. Tend to, hallelujah, the seed. But it also took care of some pests, amen, some bugs and different things. Amen. Because there was also the issue of snakes being in the harvest field or in the stubble field. Names. It's referred to as the asp or the adder or the viper or the serpent or the cockatrice. Amen. It's called, amen. It's not ever called snake. Amen. It's called serpent more than it is anything else. But, amen. We see that there are most of them are venomous snakes. There are seven species of venomous snakes or vipers that are currently in Israel. Amen. They are prevalent there in Israel. Seven different species of venomous snakes. Amen. And so just like the stubble, when we see a reference to snakes in the scriptures, it's always a negative connotation. There's nothing good about a serpent, a viper, amen, or any kind of snake, amen. All of those venomous in the scriptures. We know that Satan is the serpent in the book of Revelation. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a viper. Amen. He's venomous. So that serpent is venomous. Hallelujah. But just a few verses before Matthew 3:11 that we read to you that John the Baptist, amen, was talking about, amen, Jesus coming and baptizing with fire, amen, and taking his winnowing fork, his fan, amen, and separating and then burning the stubble with an unquenchable fire. Hallelujah. Just a few verses. I think it's in verse Pharisees, a brood of vipers. He called them a generation of vipers. And we see that Jesus spoke the same thing to them. Amen. In other places. Hallelujah. Both spoke to them. Amen. When they spoke to them about being a brood of vipers, they referenced to them being able, amen, to flee the wrath and the judgment of God. Amen. This was a reference to stubble burning. Amen. This was a reference. We told you that the fire, amen, of the stubble field is often referred to as the judgment of God. And so now, amen, John the Baptist, Jesus is calling the Pharisees who were deceitful, amen, who were religious, who were hypocrites. Amen. They fulfilled the law on the outside, but they had no conversion or change on the inside. Amen. Their hearts were full of pride. Amen. But they called them a brood of vipers. Amen. Or called them, amen, those snakes. And they told them, how can you escape, amen, the unquenchable wrath of that fire? That was a reference to stubble burning. Amen. Because as the fire burned in the stubble fields, amen, when it reached the viper dens that were in the stubble field, amen, they would slither away, amen, from the fire. And this was a common sight, amen, to those, amen, in Israel, the burning of, amen, the stubble field, amen, and watching, amen, the snakes, amen, trying to slither away. So this was a common sight for them. So it would have likely called their minds to think about the stubble field being on fire. So now they're seeing the reference, amen, that Jesus is speaking to them about. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. The vipers seldom escaped the fire. They were usually consumed by the fire before they got out of the field. Amen. But the fire would draw them out of their hiding place. Amen. They would say, They were trying to ask the Pharisees, how do you think you're going to escape the fire of God's judgment by relying on your own works? It ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that the Lord began to deal with me about the viper and about the cockatrice? Amen. And the cockatrice is, he specifically spoke that to me a few weeks ago. Amen. And the cockatrice is a very venomous, amen, viper. It is a very venomous snake. And when you look at the different references for vipers, their Hebrew meanings are dragger, or whistler, or the hissing viper, amen, or the horned viper. The horned viper literally leaps, amen, on its victim as he goes to bite them. See, the Pharisees were deceitful. They were wicked. They were prideful. Amen. And they were dangerous to the covenant faith, amen, that Jesus was bringing. They were dangerous, amen, to the truth that he was bringing. And can I tell you, amen, that the viper reference was valid when he called them a brood of vipers. It was valid because they were injecting poison or venom into the faith. They were causing, amen, the faith to be poisoned and making people question, hallelujah, the words of truth that were being spoken by Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, this is why the enemy wants you to leave the stubble, because those vipers will make their dens in that stubble field. They'll hide in that stubble field, and they'll even lay eggs. Not every snake, amen, lays eggs. Some snakes lay eggs on the inside, and they give birth, and eggs hatch on the inside of them. Some just give birth, amen, praise God, through the ovary way, amen. But I think 70% of snakes, especially venomous snakes, lay eggs. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they'll lay eggs in those dens. Amen. And if you don't burn the stubble, guess what's going to happen?
Come on.
Hallelujah. Those eggs are going to hatch. Hallelujah. Amen. And you got to understand that when, amen, those baby vipers are born, they already have fangs and venom. So if a baby viper bites, amen, someone, they will poison them. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Don't think that the little foxes don't spoil the vine. Don't think you can handle the little snakes and they won't take you down. Don't think you can compromise in any area that God has already delivered you from, because those little vipers, amen, those baby vipers have the same potential. Their fangs don't have to grow. They're born with them. Hallelujah. And so if you don't, amen, get rid of the stubble. Hallelujah. And what happens, amen, when the fire is ignited? It brings, amen, the vipers out from hiding. What happened with the Apostle Paul? Amen, when he lit the wood, there was a viper. According to the translation, it was a horned viper. Amen, that was in the wood when Paul was on Melita. Hallelujah. Amen, but when he lit a fire, what happened? The snake came out of the fire. Amen, and it gripped his hand. It's a fire that is going to drive out, amen, the snakes and the vipers. Hallelujah, and destroy. Listen to me. Hallelujah. That is going to bring about, and they very seldom escape the field because, hallelujah, the fire consumed them. Amen. Some of you are dealing with demon spirits that you shouldn't even, you don't even have to deal with, because you're taking it into the next season. When God said, let the Holy Ghost set the stubble on fire, draw it out, and watch it be destroyed. Hallelujah. He said, I give you power over all the powers of the devil, that you tread upon serpents and scorpions and take up any deadly thing, and it shall not harm you. the soul in your life. Got to get your field ready for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you think you're going to reap what's been promised. See, you've been given the seed. When God speaks a promise to us, okay, we have corporate promises like those promises in here. Hundreds and hundreds of covenant promises that belong to each and every one who is, amen, born again and part of the covenant, amen. Those are also, those are our seeds. We can take those when we need it, amen. But sometimes he makes personal promises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
That's a seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's his word. And nothing can take that, the power of that seed away. So if you're going to plant that and sow that seed, you got to get your field ready.
That's good.
You can't just cry it off on Sunday morning,
right,
and then take it back up.
Right. Come on.
We preach on Sunday morning. By leaving it at the altar.
Yep.
Leaving it there. You'll accept every sacrifice that you place on that altar. Say, okay, Holy Ghost, burn the soul. Set the soul on fire. Go take this into the next season. I'm going to prepare the field for the next season. See, that's how God operated in the scriptures. That's how God set time and his pattern was through the agriculture, through the seasons, and he still works that way. So if you're going to benefit from the previous season, you got to get your field ready. And that means burning the stubble. You can't leave the stubble with little stiff stalks that have no value, no nutritional value. They don't benefit anybody or anything except the enemy. So you got to get your field ready. I was thinking about the snake eggs. See, y'all know I don't like snakes. I don't understand anybody that does. I mean that truthfully. I don't understand anybody that is fascinated by those slippery, nasty. The Bible has nothing good to say about, oh, I know they eat rats and this and that. Well, they eat the rats and stuff at your house. You can feed it to them if you want to. But I don't want them in my house.
Go on.
Folks that handle them in the church. Mm-mm. Ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I get myself in trouble. But I said about those snake eggs. Most snakes, when they lay eggs, they leave them. There's a few kinds that will coil around them, and
mm-hmm.
The mother will like stay with them, warm them, whatever it is, I don't know. But most of them go and leave the eggs. And I watched a nature video once of a snake, a venomous snake, slithering its way into an eagle's nest, where the eagle had her eggs. that snake would go with that eagle. That eagle would rise up and fly up just enough. And that snake would stand up and attack that eagle. And that eagle would take its claw and it would push back at that viper. And that viper would slither away, but then it would try to come back around from behind and try to get into the eggs because it wanted to eat the seed, what was about to be birthed. But that eagle, finally, that viper hit that eagle, got that eagle a couple times, but finally that eagle got that viper in its claw and it began to shred that. At the end of the story, I remember, I don't do well, I have a weak stomach. And by the end of the story, that eagle was ripping that snake to shreds. And I thought about that today. He that waits on the Lord shall renew their strength. We preached on the eagle so many times in years past. Been a bit since we preached on it. But you're not up with wings as eagle. There's so many things about the eagle that are parallel. But I thought, how? What if the eyes of that viper would remain, the eagle would destroy those vipers, and no power to overtake that eagle to protect the seed of what was about to be birthed. And we're the same. God has given us the authority and the power, and the Holy Ghost empowers us to defeat the enemy, to bring the enemy under the subtle. I've never preached here before. I believe this is a word for this season, as God is bringing us into the place of the things that are transpiring. I know it's not just on us here at Jewel Tabernacle that are experiencing the trials and the intensity of the battles, the season. I'm a fallen person. Most of you that know me know that. But man, more than ever, I can't wait for summer to be over. It has been such a somber summer. I'm just ready for it to be past and move on into fall. It's going out with a vengeance this week. Temperatures from the pits surfacing. But I heard the Lord say, God burn the stubble. Everything from the past season that will have no benefit and no value for your next season, let the Holy Ghost burn it up. Amen. It's part of the sowing and reaping as he'll come to the piano. It's just part. You can't get away from it. I've never, ever preached on the post-harvest before. Ever preached on in between the reaping and sowing again. But God wants us to hear him and pay attention, especially as he's brought us in these 4 weeks, took on into the final week of this season of prayer and fasting. And the theme for our camp meeting is the best is yet to come. So we're going to get past it. You're not only going to get through it, you're going to get over it. Because to get over it means you leave behind all the residue of the last season. And you burn the stubble. And you allow the Holy Ghost to set it on fire. God, not my will but yours. Not my way but your way. So tonight, I don't know the extent of everything that you're dealing with. I know there's adversity in a lot of people's lives right now. You know, we don't always see it on other people when they come in the house of the Lord, because they come in worshiping and the joy and the peace. So we don't always know it. We don't always see it. But I know some of you got some adversity. But as you stand with me across this place tonight, the Bible says that every man born is born into trouble. You can't escape trouble. You can't escape hardship. You can't escape the conflict and the cares of this life. It rains on the just and the unjust. But I can tell you, this is not cliche for me, that without the Lord, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Probably my life.
Yeah.
Without the Lord. I don't know how folks navigate through the tragedies and those adversities and those tough times without the Lord to lean upon. Keeps them hoping for a better day. But see, we have a great covenant. We don't hope for a better day, because the day that we are being given is a good day.
Amen.
But if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you have not fully surrendered and yielded your life to Jesus. It's not a religious saying. Not like the Pharisees said, but it's about relationship. Realizing that the love of God allowed Jesus to die for us. Not so we can be good Christians, so that we can be his sons and daughters and walk in covenant with him. So if you're here tonight and that's you, you're not wholly surrendered to the Lord, you're not saved, you're not walking in that covenant, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to